One of the things God wants you to leave camp meeting with is a sharper demonstration of the gifts of the Spirit. I've always told you. You see, the gifts of the Spirit are not for pastors. I didn't say pastors cannot do it. I'm saying they're not for pastors alone. The ability to see visions and know things supernaturally is not for the pastor alone. If only the pastor is demonstrating that, that's a sign of early failure. The church, are you listening to me? The church should demonstrate it in corporate worship. And that's one of the things God is going to do for you in this camp meeting. Yeah. You'll find it easy to prophesy. Yeah. No more, something told me. Now something told me. I'm not sure. Nah, you'll be sure. Yeah. You'll hear his voice. Yeah. You will see his visions. So anyway, I want you to be seeing visions. Eh? I mean, things have not happened, but you already saw it. You already saw it last week, and you said, I'm not going there. I saw exactly what was going to happen. Or I'm going there because I know exactly what's going to happen. And that's one of the things we want to sharpen this morning. Camp meeting is all around that. I want to sharpen it. See, I'm sharp. You didn't say it. I'm sharp. To pick the things of the Spirit. Say, all the gifts are mine. Oh, Jesus Christ. Say, all the gifts are mine. Today, I flow with ease in all the 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost. I can speak with tongues. No, you're not saying. I can't hear you. I can speak with tongues. And I can interpret my tongues. I can prophesy. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. This one. Quickly, I want to quickly share on descending of spirits. First Corinthians 12 and verse 1. Now concerning the gifts of the Spirit or spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. This was my first teaching as a pastor some few days ago. I tagged it concerning spiritual gifts. Let's just keep it that simple. Non-glorious house church, by the way. Concerning spiritual gifts. Paul says, I will not have you ignorant. If he doesn't want the church in Corinth to be ignorant, he doesn't want the church in Lagos to be ignorant. Say, I will not be ignorant. Have you ever found yourself in an ignorant corner before where you don't know what's going on? Man, the first time I was flying and I got to the airport, I was lost. And then you get to the plane. You don't even know what to do. Because you are ignorant about it. And I was being like a village boy. And Paul says, if there is something you must be familiar with as a believer, it's spiritual gifts. When people say spiritual gift, the first thing your mind goes to is, pastors. Oh, there are even people called prophets. So, they should have spiritual gifts. No, it's talking to the church. The book of Corinth is written to the entire church. So, the gifts of the Spirit are not for a select few. They are for the church. Say, it's for me. See, I will not have you ignorant. That means, he wants to teach it. So we can teach concerning the gifts of the Spirit. There's a sect that believes, no, this thing should not be taught. People just manifest. And that's why they manifest nonsense. I've said it before. It must be taught. Whatever is not taught, you will end up in an error. I'm not saying you teach people how to speak in tongues. I'm saying you teach what tongues is. If we don't teach it, we will land in error. There are two extremes. There is one where everything is dry. I remember I went to, I had the privilege of preaching in one church like that. In Ibadan some years ago. And normally I would start out with prophecy. So I said, speak in tongues. And I saw the way they were looking at me. So I knew that I'm going to be like, say, I don't enter the wrong place. So apparently, they are not used to speaking. They only speak in tongues when the worshippers, you understand? Everybody has whine. People are crying on the floor. That's when tongues come out. So the fact that I came and the first thing I said with the mic was tongues. You were looking at me like, yeah. That's an extreme. Where we are dry and we are waiting for the pastor. We can't afford to be like that. And we will not be like that. We are a church of the gifts of the Spirit. You see, in us, Glorious House Church, tongues will be commonplace. Yes. Prophecy will be normal. Yes. Visions will be normal. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. It's not, oh my, I saw vision. No, no, I had a vision. It should not be a news among Christians. I had a vision, breaking news. The early church didn't see it as breaking news. I had a vision yesterday and I saw. I said, okay, pray about it. It will be common among us. Amen. Another extreme is when people are now vulnerable to all kinds of spirit. And I say, it must be taught. The best fences have gates. Remember I said that the first night? It must be taught. What are the gates? What are the limitations? When it's not taught, error comes in. And that's why... Recently, you see, I've been making emphasis, especially on things like groaning in the spirit. Whatever that means. It's a bug that needs to be sorted. Especially among young people like me and you. You're praying and the next thing you're doing is like electric shock. Of course, are there times when you're praying and you literally... Sometimes I can't even explain. You're praying and it's almost like you're having pangs. It's almost like you're having cramps. It's possible. You've not prayed yourself to malaria before. You pray and when you're done, you look like you're having malaria. It's possible. But that cannot be your definition of prayer. So much that you don't know how to pray again. The only thing you do is... We are praying for pastor. Who are you praying for like that? We are praying for missionaries in Kaduna. Next thing. Pray for them now. Which one is it? Prayer means you will utter it. When you say groanings that cannot be uttered, then it cannot be you have uttered something. Amen. And all these things crept in because the limit of things were not taught. So, I told you, I said, there's a difference between exercising spiritual gifts and spiritism. Spiritism, where people are now, it's not about the gift of the Spirit again. It's now about, what do I know that another person does not know? Yeah, you're already living the will of God. You hear things like, if you want your prayer to be answered, you wake up by 1. You pray by 1. You pray by 4. You pray by 7. You pray by 12. You do that constantly for 51 days. It's not in the Word of God. If you are giving instructions about that, a different thing. But you can't teach it as a doctrine. You have led to it. Fanaticism. And what that does is that it makes you vulnerable to all kinds of spirits. Because God is not the only supernatural being. The devil is too. And if all you are bothered about are portals, you know, there's just something about that word that I don't like. Portals, dimensions, realms, depths. If that's all you're bothered about in your walking with God, then you're already getting it wrong.
you are moving into spiritism. Before you know it, you will be back to what you can do. Spiritual gifts, the exercise of it, is different from spiritism. Spiritism is just an unbridled hunger for anything spiritual. Does not mean it will come from God. Are you listening to me? I'm not preaching balance, though. I'm preaching proper exercise of the gift of the Spirit. This one is not about balancing it. There's nothing to balance here. Are you going to pray, or you just want to appear like you are praying? I was on the campus fellowship recently. I was teaching their S-Code. The campus fellowship in Unilag. I was teaching the S-Code. And I told them, I said, you see, the gifts of the Spirit must be exercised properly among you. You're on campus. If you don't learn how to walk in the gift of the Spirit, you might never learn it again. Except you are by privilege joined that place it as premium. I told them, I said, another thing you must not do is to build an idol around the gift of the Spirit. Don't build a God around it. Many are falling into errors because of spiritism. Because you feel every service I must do healing. Why? Who told you must heal every service? Who sent you? And because you build the city by force, you will start to manufacture events. Scenarios. Why? Because you have to heal the sick. You have told people you are the healer. So you do like that pastor in Ibadan some years ago. They went to put electric wire under people, under rug. So when he's laying out, we have to push you there. Here you want us to know back there on Ishubu. So once your leg reach where the electric wire is under the rug, God is there. God is in that church. And God says does not know the address of the place. But the devil does. Now, concerning the things of the Spirit, I want to teach you. That's what Paul says. Because it should be taught. We must teach what visions are. So that you don't become a witch. You don't start collecting money. And say, let me help you check something. Before you know it, you already have calabash. You know, you'll be justifying it as it's going. You'll be justifying it. It's just calabash. It's just natural things. And cashew nuts. And honey. You see, honey, so that your life can be sweet. So, say, bring your tithe. Uti di babalawo. Amen. Dibia, you're already turning to babalawo. I will not have you ignorant. It should be taught. Then he begins to mention the gifts. Look at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Don't forget, we said, who is he addressing? Pastors or the church? So everybody in the church can work in diversities of gifts, right? You can work in gifts. So when you are in 6, you will find it. You can work in all gifts. You wake up to visions. You walk the streets of prophecy. You exercise in the streams of healing. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Healing is not far from you. Hallelujah. When you lay your hands, the sick get healed. They recover fast. In the name of the Lord Jesus. So there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences in administration. Look at the Bible. I'm reading it. There are differences in administration, but the same Lord. Diversities of operations, but it is the same God that works all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit. So the manifestation of the Spirit, will that be the manifestation of the gifts? Eh? The manifestation of the gifts are given to every man to profit every man in Christ. So let's look at the gifts, verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another by the same Spirit, faith. To another, the gifts of healing. To another, the working of miracles. To another, for prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. But all these works one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. So, there's a bit of conundrum there, where you think, okay, he gave one tongues. Then he gave another person interpretation. Then he gave another person discerning of spirits. No. That's not it. Look at what he now said in verse 11. He says, all these gifts works one and the same spirit, right? Eh? So, if I have the spirit, do I have all the gifts? Eh? If I have that one same spirit, do I have all the diversities of gifts? You know, if you buy a 5-bedroom duplex and you purchase it and they give you all the documents and the key, you don't start calling the person that sold it to you that, can I use the kitchen? No, that would be stupid, right? Say, I know I bought the house, but I want you to cook. Can I use the kitchen? No. If you have the key to the house, you have the key to the kitchen. The authority of the house is the authority of the bedroom, is the authority of the living room, is the authority of the store. Amen? Why? Because if I have the spirit, I have the diversities of gifts. So you are not praying to God that you want to open. It's not game that you are trying to unlock different level. If you have not walked in that gift, it's because you have not desired it. Look at verse 11. That says, all these works one and self-same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he what? So who is the E? That's the question again. Who is the E that wills? Is it the Holy Ghost or the believer? Eh? Thank you. Because he calls it diversities of gifts. He now says, he divides into every man severally as he wills. That is, as the man desires, he will operate in the gifts. How you know is, eventually in chapter 12, verse 31, he will now tell you, covet the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:31. Now that you covet earnestly the gift, that means the responsibility of desire is not on the Holy Ghost. It's not the Holy Ghost that desires to manifest. It is me. So if today I tell God, you know what? 2026, I want to sharpen the gift of prophecy. If I desire it, he says the Holy Ghost can make it happen for me. Why? Because this is my lot in Christ. Is it making sense? Or you are sleeping? So, if I desire it, God can make it happen. But look at those gifts. He mentions 9 of them. And let's quickly put it into 3 groups. Like Bro Hagin has taught. There are 3 out of the 9 gifts. 3 say something. They utter something. That will be tongues. You don't see tongues. You speak in tongues, right? Interpretation of tongues. And prophecy. They say something. So, you call them the utterance gifts. People have an issue with the interpretation of tongues, and they feel, when I interpret tongues, am I speaking another person's language? No. Another person's language, like, asao. We have taught that before, so I want you to get our teaching. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. I think we taught it in retreats 2018. That's about 7 years ago. But it's still true. So you can get it. It's a classic. I think I explored all questions you might have on tongues. The book will be out next year by God's grace. Can I hear amen? Amen. So, interpretation of tongues. You say something. Then prophecy. What we call prophecy sometimes is a word of wisdom. Let me explain. So, we said there are 3 gifts that say something, right? There are 3 gifts that see something. They reveal. That's word of wisdom. They reveal something. What is a word of wisdom? A word of wisdom is the gift of the Spirit that tells you the will and the mind of God concerning what is yet to happen. Do you get that? Tells you the mind and the will of God concerning what is yet to happen. You could take it as a present with a bit of the future. Word of knowledge. So that's word of wisdom. The word of knowledge is the gift of the Spirit that tells you about what has happened. So when you say prophecy, prophecy does not reveal anything. Prophecy, Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 14, prophecy only exhorts, that is, it only instructs, edify, and comforts. That's what prophecy does. It doesn't reveal anything. The moment there's an information that has been revealed, that's the word of wisdom. If you want me to come again, let me see your hands. Okay. I'll take it again. Someone comes to you. tells you, you know what? May next year, you're going to get a job. Okay, there are people that need it. I'm giving you an example. I know you are sharp. So you're going to get a job that's going to pay you. What do you want? 5M? I hope your certificate can carry it, sir. 5M. Well, miracles happen. Amen? We've had people who... we've had people who were doing remote work. He's assistant for someone, and they are paying in dollars. And it's not meant to be, but it be. It will be for you. So let's say someone else say, but the way the job is going to come, it's going to look like it is calm. It might not sit well with you. But these are the things that will happen around that time that will ensure that you already know that this is an opportunity for you. Can you see that? It's telling you December, but that's going to happen in May. That is not a prophecy. That is a word of wisdom to tell you the mind of God concerning an event that is yet to happen. Does that make sense? Prophecy will come to you and just comfort you. Did I just say just? That's wrong. Prophecy will comfort you. It will instruct you. Oh, right now you're seeking God for a job. But do not worry. He'll take care of you. Despise not the days of little beginnings. For even though your beginning is small, your later end shall greatly increase. Yeah. You see, that is prophecy. It necessarily does not reveal anything, but it comforts, it instructs, and it edifies. Does that make sense? So, there are gifts that see. Word of wisdom, we said, shows you the mind of God concerning an event that is yet to happen. Word of knowledge shows you what has happened or what is happening, right? And God's mind and will concerning it. Hold on to the discerning of spirits. I'll come back there. Because that's where we're going. Then there is the gifts that do something. So the first, they say something. The second, they what? They see something. The third, they do something. Say, do something. Uh-huh. Healing is a gift of the Spirit. They are called power gifts. They do something. What is healing? Healing is the supply of supernatural energy to restore the body to health. The supply of supernatural energy to get the body working again. And as many that are sick in the body, right now and right here, you are healed in the name of the Lord Jesus. No sickness survives your body. Never again will you be falling sick over and over again. If there's something in your body that needs God's intervention, that needs restoration and change, in the name of the Lord Jesus, God's power is working in your body, effecting a healing and a cure. Right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Have your seat. Healing, Jesus calls it the children's bread. Meaning, it is common. It should be common among us, healing. And healing can happen anyhow. Sometimes, it's in instructions. I remember some years ago, in this church, we had a sister like that. Went for a scan. And she brought the result. And I said, okay. What God is telling me right now is not to pray for you. So I told her, you're going to go home, which was weird for me, but that was what God told me. You're going to go home. You're going to eat your favorite food. And she was looking like me, like, I'm Pastor, you are okay. You're going to eat your favorite food. I said, what's your favorite food? You fry egg. Okay. Make it. And when you are eating, keep saying, I am healed in my body. And that's how she got healed. Repeat the scan and was off. What am I saying? There's no hard and fast rule about how a man can get healed. Sometimes it's by instructions. And that means you have already started exercising the gift of faith. So what is the gift of faith? The gift of faith is the gift of the Spirit that receives healing on behalf of another. I will explain to you. Oftentimes, the gift of faith works with instruction. Like I said, go and make your favorite meal. I've asked someone before, you know what? This test result, go and do another one. No instruction, nothing. Just go and do another one and you'll be fine. Listen to me. If you don't do another one, you will not be fine. The healing is in following what I said. It's a gift of faith. You saw it with Peter at the gate of the temple. He told the beggar, silver and gold I have none, but what I have I'll give to you. Now, rise up. If you cannot rise, I can use my hand to lift you, right? So, he's receiving healing on behalf of that man. Oftentimes, the gift of faith works with instructions, certain things to do. Sajidi was there. In 2014, I was at Unilag, and you were there at the lagoon front when I ministered to that deaf guy. And what did I do? I didn't say, your ears are open. I just said, what can you hear? Prophet, were you there? You didn't attend that one. Oh, you're not there. But you were there. And all I just did was, what can you hear? I know he cannot hear. But you see, the gift of faith works with me receiving for you. So by clapping and saying, you know you can hear it, he heard it. It's like going to a blind man and say, can you see this? How many is this? I'm not necessarily putting my hands on you and say, be healed. See, I'm just receiving it for you. You don't have to do anything. That's the gift of faith. Is it making sense? Then there is the working of miracles. You know what miracles are? Miracles are the gifts of the Spirit that suspend natural laws. They suspend natural laws. Miracles have no regard for the context. Miracle is a miracle. It has no regard for these how things are done normally. And I pray for you that you find it easy to receive your healing. Yeah. That's it. I just remembered that someone was abusing the pastor. He said, the pastor wanted to minister to someone who had cancer. So the pastor slapped the person. He said, you're healed. I said, was the person healed? He said, yes. He said, what do you have issue with? Why are you slapping people to be healed? If you're a medical person, personnel, and you go to oncology department where they manage cancer patients, and you tell them, I will give you people 4 slaps each. And there will be remission. 4 slaps each. Watch how many will tell you double it. Jesus took mud, spat on it. Ew, right? Gross. Spat on it and put it on a man's face. If you do that today, they will say you are using juju. Yeah. This guy do such pastor. Now why don't trust young pastors? God knows what he has put his hand in. Last time in Shekere, we saw him with. Me around here. We saw him with Shekere. He was doing like this. He was not speaking in tongues. Incantation that Baba says you do. When your life is not busy, you busy yourself with other people's concern. And it's a good thing, Sha. Talk about me more. Hallelujah. Jesus, spat. Imagine if I want to heal you this night. And I do. Some people even say, don't lay hands on me. You will find it easy to receive your healing. Because sometimes, miracles come in the most unconventional ways. The most unconventional ways. How does it make sense that you touch someone's clothes and an issue of blood of 12 years stopped? What is in a cloth? Some of the things that Jesus did, if they write it on Insta blog today, people will doubt it. They will say it's not possible. How can you tell me that Moses took his staff? And he put it in the sea plant. Lamba. Tell me you will not say Lamba. Tell me you will not say it's a lie. That someone threw his rod down and it became a snake. You say AI. if they record it for you, you say it's AI. That's not possible for a rod to become. There's something called inanimate. Okay. Miracles don't care about inanimate and animate object. Oh. Amen. A miracle is a miracle, and I receive miracles. I believe in miracles. I've seen a soul set free.
Miraculous, the unchanging one, revealed through Calvary. I've seen a lily push its way up through the stubborn sod, and I believe in miracles, for I believe in God. Amen. You cannot believe in God and not believe in miracles. 2026, be open for miracles. In our church, in ourselves, in every place where we gather, we receive the miraculous. Are you with me? So, the gifts that do something. Healing, faith, and miracles. So, go back to that one that we skipped. What's that one? The discerning of spirit. So, what's the discerning of spirit? It's the gift of the spirit that gives you insight into spiritual events, spiritual personalities. It gives you insight into the things, events that are happening by the Spirit. It's the spirit world. It's not discerning of devils. And that's one of the things I want to clear. Oftentimes when you talk about discerning of spirit, what people think is you'll be able to recognize demons. In fact, some years ago, that was what I was thinking about when I told God that I want to walk in the discerning of spirits. And he told me to go to the market, to Kado Market. And I started seeing different things. I told God, shut that eyes, I beg. This must not repeat itself again. It was such a God insight. And sometimes that's the way we think about the discerning of spirits. We think, I'll be going, I'll just see demon. And you know that's some people's prayer request. You want to see devil. Why? What did the devil do to you? And you see people, they say, there are levels you get to in the faith. I have seen Lucifer. He came to my hotel. Should you not be ashamed? What did he come and do? I don't see it as spiritual goods. I'm sorry. It doesn't make any sense. How does that edify the body of Christ that you saw Lucifer? He's defeated already. What are we talking about here? It's like seeing Chelsea players. What are they going to do? Amen? Chelsea players. He's not collecting league. He's not collecting anything. Abi, prophet. He's not a title contender. It's nothing. They will mock the person that finished second. And they have not finished second in a long, long time. That's like talking to the devil. Defeated already. So, why should I make it almost like a spiritual growth thing that I saw the devil today? I don't need to see him. He's under my feet. The only way I can see him is if I go upside down. Hallelujah. I don't need to see the devil. I'm sorry. I have more business with angelic activities. Amen. I need an angel to carry our book and spread the wind to Asia. That's what we're talking about. Which one is I'm seeing the devil? Are you listening to me? So discerning of spirit is not discerning of devil. It's spirits, which can be divine spirits, which is Jesus. You can see Paul did in Acts 9. He saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. That's definitely a discerning of spirit, meaning a spiritual event or a spiritual personality, you now have insight and access to it. Does that make sense? So, visions fall under which gift of the Spirit? Discerning of Spirit. Does that make sense now? Because someone has asked me before that question. That, okay, out of all the 9 gifts, I did not see visions. And we always say visions are revelations. That's discerning of Spirit. All kinds of spirits, actually. So don't focus on demons alone. It's to see events and personalities by the Spirit. Look at Acts 9. In Acts 9, verse 10 to 16, Jesus appeared to Ananias. Go to Acts 9. Yeah. Learning something? Verse 10. Can we read it together? Want to go? Wait. Was Ananias shocked? Imagine you had a vision, you saw Jesus,
And just your response is, behold, I am here. Chai. I trust a Nigerian. Yeah, my Lord and Savior. It shows you how common it was to have visions in the early church. Something has watered it down over the years. And we must not allow it. Are you listening to me? It was a common thing for people in the church of God to have visions. Philip was caught up. And it was not the news. Stephen had visions. And it was not like, if you know what happened to me last week, I had vision. No, it was common. It's common for me. Say, it's easy for me. Visions are revelations. They are my commonplace. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I begin to get insight into information that no man ever told me. Things that no man ever showed me. I begin to see with the eyes of the Spirit. It's easy for me. In the name of the Lord Jesus. So, the discerning of spirit sees that. So Jesus appeared to Ananias and he told him, you know what? You are going to go to the street called Straight. You are going to see a certain Saul of Tarsus praying. So, oftentimes these gifts work together. Just the way, see how healing work with the gifts of faith the other time. If I tell you, go and make your best food. That's the gift of faith and healing in the same stream. Does that make sense? Come on, does that make sense? I can sing in tongues, interpret the tongues, and that song gets someone healed. So, there's no hard and fast rule about which gift is working. They can work together. So, the discerning of spirit can also recognize the spirit behind an event. I'll explain what I mean now. It can expose the spirit behind an event. Some years ago, we had the Holy Ghost meeting, not in this church. And while we were talking, there was a particular brother that gave a prophecy. And as I was giving the prophecy, God told me, shut him up. Now, he was someone I knew and I respected. And he has been filled with the gift of the Spirit for a while. But at that moment, God said, shut him up. That's not of my spirit. Nothing he was saying really sounded strange. For me to say, so I even know what to do. So I had to go and meet another of our friend. I said, God asked me to take the mic from bro. He said exactly that was what he was going to come and tell me to. Like God said, that's not of his spirit. It was the next day. The brother was not telling me. I didn't even know what was going on. He was just saying things. Funny enough, what he was saying was not wrong. Let me show you an example of that. Acts 16. But discerning of spirit, what it does, I didn't say discernment too. Discernment comes by the word. Discerning of spirit is the gift of the spirit. Discernment comes by the word. Aha. How many of you know what I just said now? You got what I just said. All right, good. Acts 16. Cover 16. I'm going to read from verse 16 to 18. So, the story is about a certain girl who had a gift where she was talking. And when Paul came to town, the girl said, this is Paul, the servant of the Most High God, who has come to bring us the message of salvation. Sorry, what's wrong with that? Eh? What's wrong with what she just said? Nothing. But what's the next thing Paul did? Paul said to the spirit in her, get out. So not every spirit is the spirit of God. And you need to recognize that. And the only way you can separate the wheat from the chaff is by discerning spirits. You find it easy in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear amen very well. You find it easy in the name of Jesus. The sign of spirit is not just to know when things are wrong. Sometimes when things are right too. And it's not for seeing fault. I'll start to round it up. So. It's not for seeing people's fault. When I was younger because I'm still very young, 16, I'll be 17 next week. But when I was younger, I think some of you will probably know this very well. When I organize meetings, AY, remember, if I organize meetings, no sin come that meeting, no. And I'll be saying things I'm not meant to say out. But I could see it. I could see who people were, what they were doing, what you did before you came to the meeting. And I will now say it out. I'll say, come out. And if nobody were to come, not come out. Because I will tell you, oh yeah, you are the 50th person on that row. Third row, 50th person, come out. You are the one I'm talking about. Since you don't want to come out. And I had one of our teachers then call me and said, that's not how to use the gift of the Spirit. So I started learning. Even though I didn't believe her at that time, I felt, oh, I want to rub my shine. We did do this thing. Mommy said, if you are not careful, I'll be seen to you right now. That was what was going on in my head. But she told me, said, that's not how to use the gift of the Spirit. And when God shows you things like that, so that you can help the person, not so that you can find fault and just show that the gifts of the Spirit are not for show. But bro, I love you, show go. Show Paul. Of course, you mature in the faith, you grow, and then you learn how to harness it properly. But what am I saying this morning? You will find it easy to flow with the gifts of the Spirit. In your church, in your soul, you will be known for the gifts of the Spirit. When people are looking for clarity, they will find it easy to come to you. Amen. Because you find it easy to hear from God. Amen. To see by the Spirit. Amen. It's not strange to you. Amen. The center of Spirit, like I said, is not for finding demons. Pray for me as I close. It's not for looking for demons. In Matthew 17, at the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John, they saw Elijah and Moses. That's not demonic. You saw Elijah and Moses. That is discerning of spirit. Is it making sense? Discerning of spirit, like I also said, can help you know the spirit that is talking. Peter said, God forbid you will not die, Jesus. Jesus said, no, you know, I have to die. I'll go to Jerusalem. I'll die, be buried, and I'll rise again. Peter said, by lie. What are you saying? You're not talking by faith. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Meaning, sometimes it's noble what he said, but it's not the voice of God. The voice is the voice of Jacob, but it's the hands of Esau. And one of the things God wants you to work with in the new year is to sharpen your discerning of spirits. Where you recognize the voice of Jacob when it's the hands of Esau. You won't miss your way. Amen. And the devil will not deceive you. Amen. So this morning, into the afternoon, we will exercise all the 9 gifts of the Spirit. We will. We're going to have hours. Just a few hours. We might not have the kind of hours we had last year. Last year we had 8, right? Of just exercising the gift of the Spirit. Or speaking tongues. What we want you to do, what I will have you do, is to become a professional, an expert with the things of the Spirit. See, when we all as a church learn to flow with the gift of the Spirit, it's easy for us to serve God together. We must not depend on logic and gimmicks. Because except the Lord builds the house, the labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord watches the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. So how do we not watch in vain? How do we not build in vain? By building according to pattern. What is pattern? Pattern is what the voice of God says.
And this morning, into the afternoon, listen to me. As we speak in tongues and prophesy, we lay hands and sicknesses with Amos. You, my friend, because of you, someone will live here joyful. Because today, God is going to speak through you. I didn't hear you now. I said, God is going to speak through you. I receive for you unhindered access to the repository of the Spirit. Unhindered access. You find it easy to prophesy. You find it easy to see things by the Spirit. You know, some years ago, the first time I was going to heal the sick, just a few days ago, and I remember telling God, I haven't done this before. You had better just do this. I just finished teaching on Faith Mountain, Mark 11:23. And I just finished teaching. And the pastor came, the pastor of the church. He's a young evangelist. I said, sir. He said, there's a woman here who, she has a lump in her breast. And it's already smelling. I just said that since you have just taught faith, why not just lay hands on her so that she can be healed? I felt like it was a setup. So I turned back and I said, muttering to God, I said, I beg. I will not say the rest of what I said, but I was threatening God that you had better just do this thing. I have thought about faith. I have thought that you can do everything. Now they say you should do something. And so I laid my hands. And I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus, be healed. And before we left that meeting, the lump reduced. I got a call the next week on my friend's phone, my friend's Express Music, that the woman is healed. But the pastor called me again for another vigil. This time around, we had a lot of sick people. And God told me, said, what were you thinking? That healing is easy. You see, what makes it complicated is because you start to think, Pastor, me, this and self. Let me just, I believe you. You're looking at yourself, but you're not the healer. He is. Amen. Yeah. You are a vessel. The moment that becomes clear that he is using you for his own glory, then you have nothing to boast about. You also have nothing to be fearful about. Is it making sense? I've never shied away from laying hands on the sick because he is the healer. Are you listening to me? You know what you do for yourself this morning? Don't hold back. See, sometimes when you say God told you something, it might not be clear at first. It might look like you're even lying. I've given you an instance before. I was at multipurpose hall in Unilag. And I said, there's someone among us. Name is, I mentioned the name, I've forgotten. Now, who is the person? Nobody came out of that group. It's a group of about 12. So I called the particular sister. She says, you I'm talking to. She said, is that your mom's name? She said, no, that's not my mom's name. So I smiled. Because you get to a point where you know what you're saying is right. I smiled. I said, that's your mom's name. And I have something to tell her. She said, no. Then she went outside, apparently to make a call. And mom said, that's my name. When I got married, I changed it.
That's actually the name I was bearing throughout my high school days. So I said, you tell your mom this. The sister was crying. She said, she's sorry. I said, no, it's not about being sorry. God does not lie. It's the gift of the Spirit that I have now made mine. Is it making sense? It's still by the Spirit. Jesus told that woman at the well, where is your husband? You know her response? I have no husband. You'd have thought, Jesus don't miss this word of knowledge, man. Hey! Oh, Jesus. The woman says she does not have a husband. But you see, the thing, something with the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom is that sometimes until you say it, you don't get the next thing. Until you utter the first one, you might not get the next information. So Jesus said, you have said well. It's true. You don't have a husband because you have married 5. It has gotten clearer. And even the one that is with you now is not your husband. You must say, oh, Mo, you got it. Oh, it's my boyfriend. Easy. You find it easy. So don't let it discourage you when you say, oh, sorry, there's someone here called Caleb. And no Caleb comes out. Calm down. Dig deeper for what is it about Caleb. You could hear Caleb, and it's about someone that attended Caleb University. So calm down. The information is surplus. It's by the Spirit of God. There is no need to also force it. Are you listening? But one thing you must not stop doing. Don't stop speaking in tongues. Paul taught the church in Corinth. He said, if you want to exercise the gift of the Spirit more, he said, do not forbid tongues. Tongues open the doorway for other gifts. Because I can control what I say. I might not be able to control what I see. But I can surely control what I say. I know I'm speaking in tongues. And if tongues is what you speak, you have still flown in the gifts of the Spirit. So don't let it look like, oh, it's only tongues I did. Tongues is one of the 9. And not one gift is greater than the other. Maybe I have a special preference for the word of wisdom. Amen. I feel it's the greatest revelation gift. But and Brogan also said the same. So, but I thought that way before I heard him say it. And I'll tell you why. Maybe in some years. But it's easy for you. Are you listening to me? So can we sing that song again?
I speak in tongues. I prophesy.
Leave those hands and bless them.
I give direction to the power of God, the Holy Ghost, ever walking through. It's easy for me.